And good evening, everybody. Don't forget that's coming up next weekend, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend on April 27th and 28th. We've got a great seminar in Chicago. And then right after that, back-to-back weekends, we'll be in New Jersey. We'll be in the part of New Jersey that's adjacent to Philadelphia. So it's right across the river from Philadelphia. So it's going to hit all of the tri-state area and farther. Our seminars, people come 300-400 miles away. It's definitely worth the drive because it's life-changing. Any problem you're having with your dog, you bring your dog to the seminar, or you can just go without a dog and you can learn same content no matter whether you have a dog or not. And if you go to jeffgelmanseminars.com, all the information is there as far as ticket prices and how to get a ticket. And you will learn more in one weekend than you will in, you know, any dog training class over 5 weeks, 6 weeks. So it's really, really empowering, really, really helps a lot and a lot of people. Anyway, my name is Jeff Gelman of Solid Canine Training, and this is the wonderful Joelle. Hi, Joelle. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Really, really good. Hope everyone's having a fantastic time. We were traveling yesterday. We were coming back from Miami, so we couldn't do the show. And we made the show an hour earlier than normal because we have our fantastic fast-track coaching session tonight at 7. If you're not familiar with what our fast-track coaching session is, we get more into it in detail, but it is life-changing as well. Just about everything we do is life-changing, and I don't throw that out there just like casually. The proof is in the pudding. The daily testimonials of people that we are working with remotely, whether it's through the podcast, whether it's through our online courses at Solid Canine Academy, whether it's through our one-on-one coaching that I do with people from around the world in 30 and 60-minute increments, or our community, which is a year-long membership, which has a bunch of courses. Imagine a place that you can go to that is the most, it's like the opposite of a Facebook group. Number one, you pay to be there. The people that are there want to be there. The people that are there want other people to be there. It's very human-centric. It's very, there's no hate. There's no bullying. There's no ego. There's no flexing. And it is, men obviously are allowed. It's not a girls' club, but it's also primarily women, empowering other women, sharing their wins, asking questions, not feeling stupid to ask basic questions, and learning so much. And it's a year, and you get about $2,000 worth of courses. You get constant daily, you know, help if you need it. You also get 26. Every other week, you get a live coaching call, which is done on Zoom. So it's instead of just typing in your, like, you don't type in your question at all. You actually tell us your question and you hear our response and we can go back and forth. So it's very, very interactive. And people are transforming their lives and transforming their dogs incredibly well. And then we have something called a 90-day fast track. And in those 90 days, it's guaranteed your life will be dramatically different. We're halfway through our first 90 days, but you can join at any time. It's a rolling thing. I'm sure there'll be people that are like, just keep doing 90 days, which is only like joining four times. Because your life changes. If you're a dog trainer, I would encourage you to get in now because we are going to be starting a separate dog trainer group, which the rates will be much more because you're asking questions about dogs that you have, frankly, you've been paid to train and you need help. So that coaching is always, you know, should be more. And we also help you with business, social media, things like that. So we have people in that group that have owned fighting dogs. They're actually rehabbing them themselves. The power of 20 years of experience and 10,000 dogs and traveling the world and working with just about every dog is we know what your dog is doing and we know how to stop it. So if we train you and then we hold you accountable and then you show us video after you're successful, sometimes you do before, but we don't need to see it. You show us the after and then we help you troubleshoot. We are having people that are dramatically changing their lives around. They couldn't leave the house for their dogs. they couldn't have their dogs in the same room. They couldn't walk their dogs at the same time.
That's exactly what Rue's owner said today. Mm. When I was doing like the little exit interview.
Yeah, Rue's housemate went home today. And what's really great is Rue is a dog, if you remember, we made a course on him actually. And he is the Shiba Inu. His owners couldn't touch him. His owners couldn't put a collar on him. His owners couldn't put a harness on him without being attacked. The pet sitter couldn't do any of that.
The pet sitter got bit.
Now, those are the two closest people. And the boyfriend wouldn't even touch the dog.
Mm-hmm.
So the boyfriend wouldn't touch the dog. The girlfriend got bit every time she tried to touch the dog. Now, we rehabbed the dog. We were able to touch the dog a lot. Joel was able to touch the dog. I was able to touch the dog. Courtney was able to touch the dog. Ironically, we have a shadow student in that started yesterday. And you'll see her in some of our videos coming up soon. And it's a week-long shadow, 5-day shadow, 7-day shadow. And she was able to handle Rue. She's never met Rue before. So now Rue can be handled by strangers as well. So when people say that you need to get to the root of the problem, and I've already gone on rants on that, we're not going to do that again tonight. When people say that you're just putting a Band-Aid on it, well, if we were putting a Band-Aid on Rue, why can a complete stranger that doesn't even know the dog, that's never met the dog, do the exact same thing that everybody was getting bit for? Why? Because we transformed the way the dog looks at different concepts. That is why. So the dog on its own made a better decision. The dog on its own made a better decision with no feedback or input from us whatsoever. And it's not because of any collar we used. It's not because of any tool we used. It's because of the behavior modification training, the obedience training, the state of mind that we do with every single dog that comes to our facility. And that is over 10,000 of them. So if you're struggling with your dog, you can start out for free on our YouTube channel. Facebook and Instagram and TikTok are just short clips. We have courses, which are start to finish, everything. Imagine getting a course with 20 or 30 videos compared to a 20-second video that you see on social media. It's a big, big, big difference. You'll understand what we do. It's hard to sometimes understand what we do from a short clip, but when you buy a course, you understand extremely well what we do, and you don't need to hire a dog trainer. We have people that are actually have decided not to send their dogs to us for board and train, and they've actually taken a course, and they're fine with that. So instead of spending $7,000, they're spending sometimes only $77. But meanwhile, we are in Florida, and if you are struggling with your dog and you don't know what to do, and maybe you don't have the time or you don't feel you have the skill set and you need a big head start, you absolutely can send your dog down to us in Florida for a board and train. We do both 4 and 6 week board and trains, and we don't have our own transport company, but we know of a very, very, very reputable, safe, reliable transport company, and people are sending their dogs down. We have a dog with us right now from Massachusetts, which is a pretty long drive. That dog goes home next Friday. So let's jump right into it. Joelle, what do we got?
Let's see. Mountain Mutt said, absolutely love what you guys do.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The training companies that haven't joined Alive in a while, background and lighting look great.
Thank you. Well, that's all Joelle. Thanks. That's all Joelle. Yeah, it's been changed now for probably about 6 months or so. And I'm really, really happy that it's doing that. Plus, you'll be starting to see a lot of videos. We just had our outside area, our pool area, our lanai area sort of redone. And I'll be doing a whole new video series where a lot of my thoughts that I've been preaching for 20 years, I'm going to start just making videos because we have so many new people in our social media. And if you're brand new to our world, just start looking at all our different platforms, participate, ask questions. There's no stupid questions. Unfortunately, this industry is made to look like it's a stupid question, but we don't think so. We don't think it is. This industry, as you're probably finding out, is not very human centric. And that's sad because it's possible that a human got a dog into a certain situation. And the great thing about that is the human can get the dog out of this situation. That's the wonderful thing about this. It's rarely ever like, yes, there's a genetic component, but a lot of it is just learned behavior, and you need just to get the dog to unlearn that, stop it, and then teach it, you know, something else. Next.
Snugglebuns says, hey, everyone. Hey, Snugglebuns.
Hey, Snugglebuns. How are you?
Minpin Lodge. Hey, y'all. Love you both.
Hey. Hey, Minpin Lodge. How are you? Welcome.
Let's see. Are your podcasts on Spotify?
They should be.
They should be. They stream.
They should be. Like, we're on. The way it works is we're on. So I treat YouTube just like a podcast channel. That doesn't mean you have to. What I do with YouTube though is I will play a YouTube video and I'll just listen to it when I'm driving or when I'm at the gym. But so we are on YouTube, we are on Facebook, we are on Rumble, and we are on Instagram. We are also on about 20 different podcast channels. So if you jump onto Spotify, just search "What Would Jeff Do?" and you can join our channel. It's not as quickly updated as the other platforms, the video platforms that I mentioned, but I treat so many videos like I was listening to a podcast. Next.
Haley says, rewatch the Fearful Dog course, and I love watching Courtney train. Loved when you were at Home Depot with Vader, and she goes, you can't say hi before they even asked.
Yeah, so, you know, it's funny because I made a comment. Somebody made a comment. We get this all the time. Somebody made a comment that because Joel put a nice little e-collar post up. And someone said, what do you do about Karen's, and no disrespect to a non-Karen whose name is Karen. I'm sorry. I feel bad for you. It's not much money to change your name, by the way, at City Hall, but I feel bad. But what do you do when a Karen comes up and gives you a hard time? And I'm like, there's no such thing as a Karen coming up to you and giving you a hard time. It's called an asshole coming up to you and giving you a hard time. And they don't deserve any respect whatsoever. And you just tell them. So first of all, it never happens to me. I've been training for 20 years. It's obvious that we use tools. Nobody has ever come up to me, ever, ever, and said anything about the tools that I use. And ironically, there are people that always are approached. And it's something that, and the reason why is this. And people will say, no, it's not, Jeff. You don't understand. It's like, trust me, I've traveled the world. I've been in cities that are very sensitive cities. All right. I'm very familiar with the dialogue and the narratives out there. If you 100% from the bottom of your soul believe in anything you are doing, and then you are also minding your own business, people do not approach you. They just don't approach you. It's not a male-female thing. Nobody approaches Joelle. Nobody approaches Courtney.
That's not true. They do. Not to say anything negative.
Though. Yeah, that's what I mean. Oh, that's what I mean. Nobody
asks a pet dog.
Yeah, but nobody like, so if you're constantly being harassed for a training tool, why? It's not because you live in a neighborhood or a city that's like, has more harassing people, because assholes exist everywhere. Next.
Brittany says, hey, J&J. Hey, Brittany.
Hey, Brittany.
Sam on Rumble says, good evening. And Allison says, hi, everyone. Crazy weather here in Iowa. Just had crazy thunderstorms and now partial sunshine and hail. Yay, spring. LOL.
Yeah, it was crazy down here. It was like 92, and normally it's like 91. It's like, it was really crazy.
There were like two clouds in the sky
today. It was really crazy. And normally there's like at least three or four. Yeah, it was out of control weather down here in Florida.
Mountain Mutt says, do you do any PSA training? If so, I'd love to have you guys work Wolfgang.
So we do not.
We're pet dog
trainers. We're family pet dog trainers. Now, all your sport dogs, we have helped integrate them into family pets. We also have come across sport dogs that all of a sudden get some innate fear, and we've helped them with that. We do the same thing with service dogs as well, but we don't do service dog training. We have also had dogs, service dogs, be attacked by off-leash dogs, and now they are leash reactive. So any dog can become leash reactive through an experience like that. And obviously, once they're leash reactive, it's really hard for them to do their tasks and to actually take them out in public. A lot of your public access work is now just sort of destroyed, and we help them get back on track. We've done a lot of that. In fact, one of the most famous viral hate videos out there of me is with a White's Great Pyrenees, which has been like millions of times. It has been all over the internet and accumulated millions of pieces of hate towards me. Ironically, that dog is somebody's stability dog. And they were in Las Vegas at a seminar. They drove down from Salt Lake City, Utah to Las Vegas because their dog was leash reactive after a negative experience with other dogs. And ironically, that weekend, the video that we filmed was chopped up and then turned into make it look like I was harming the dog, which cotton towels don't harm min pins, let alone 135-pound dogs. And that dog was able to be around 22 dogs that weekend in a downstay and not care. And then we took that dog through the casinos of Las Vegas. So,
and he was already, he had tasks put on him. The owner had put like 2 years in his training already
and
was like borderline ready to walk the dog that she needed.
Yep, she had it. Yep.
She needed him for mobility.
Yep.
We solved it, the problem, in a day.
Yep, not a day. We solved the problem in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he spent the whole weekend with us. Yeah.
But
it was great.
No, God forbid the owner actually gets upset.
It just lets you know about how people truly don't care. A lot of people don't really care about the humans.
Mutt says, oh my God, the towel. People are too soft nowadays. It's incredible.
It's beyond too soft.
Beyond.
It's beyond too soft. It's, yeah. It is an ideology that is just, it's a really good sign. There's a great David Goggins interview that he did with, what's his name? Chris. Oh, geez. It's a grip. I forgot. I'm sorry. I'll remember it for the next show. Anyway, David Goggins is like, it's so easy to excel in just about anything these days because there's so many weak people out there.
Yeah.
Right now is a great time to literally excel as somebody in a relationship, in business, in the personal growth space, every part of your life, because there's so many people out there that are just so weak. And that is, I'm not talking about physical strength. I'm talking about mentally and emotionally. And then there's also so many people out there that just can't function in today's society and they are soft. And so now is a great time to start really, really excelling. So there's no excuse not to. Next.
Wingo Wolf says, how often do you do these Q&As? I'm in the UK, so it's late here, but I would love to join another.
So we do them. Normally we do them on Mondays and Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that's about midnight for you. You can watch the replays. You can always watch the replays the next day. We also do coaching. We also do a fast track coaching. If you go to Solid Canine Academy, Solid Canine Academy, and you can even start with just the community feature. If you click on community, you can read all about our community. Mm-hmm. And then we also have, which is a game changer for you, a game changer. That's a 24/7 thing. Now we do coaching for that. And we do that a little bit earlier, every other Saturday. But that you can ask questions though, and get answers during your normal day. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of helpful people on there as well. It's a wonderful thing. You'll never, in the UK, I've done seminars in the UK, both in England and in Scotland. And I'm very familiar with the training environment there and the attitude there. And I know it can be very, very challenging there. I do a lot of one-on-one consults and mentorships with folks over in the UK. And unfortunately have got your work cut out for you over there because it's really hard to find anybody that can actually help you. And I can, you know, we can help you remotely. And I would encourage you to join our community because it comes with our courses, and even our most basic courses could change your life. Next.
Alicia says, hey, hey, good to see y'all. Thank you for everything you do. Hey,
Alicia, thank you for
being here
and also for recognizing that.
Yeah. Sam, hey guys, any benefit to the CGC? Why do people do it? I just have a piece of paper that says the dog knows obedience.
So this is what I've often said. I've said the CGC, I'll give you two parts to this. So don't shut off your computer until you hear the second part, please.
It's Sam White. She's not going to tune in.
Oh, okay. Well, other people. Mm. I've often said the CGC is a useless piece of paper. The CGC is not an indication that your dog can function in society. But people that get the CGC, that means that they made effort. That means they actually put work in. They actually had a goal. They accomplished that goal. Chances are their dog made progress. The problem with that is, as somebody that's in the behavior modification space, is the CGC does not mean that your dog is not going to be leash reactive, mm-hmm. attack humans, attack dogs. It doesn't mean your dog is not going to be leash reactive. It doesn't mean your dog is going to be reliable off leash, let alone reliable on leash. But it does mean that you most likely have done more work than a majority of this, we're based in the United States, based in the US with their dogs. Because most people and most dogs, it's also done indoors in a more sterile environment. But it does mean that you actually showed up, put in the reps, accomplished something. So it is definitely not the final goal. It's not even the 50-yard line. In our world, the CGC is maybe you've gone from the 5-yard line to the 10-yard line because your world can be really greatly expanded. But the cool thing is you've built some skills, your dog has built some skills, and now you've got a really, really good head start. But just like a college degree, all a college degree is, with 90% of the people that go to a 4-year college, that degree that's on your wall is a receipt. That's all it is a receipt. It is no guarantee of any future success. Next.
Melissa says, hey guys, happy Tuesday. Hey, Melissa.
So trade schools. Kids, get into trade schools. Next.
Allison, I was walking a dog around yesterday with a bonker under my arm. So many dogs out in yards barking out open windows this time of year.
Yep.
Deployed it 2 times to keep Stan under control. Easy peasy. Good. I had just a prong on him last week during our walk, and he nearly redirected on me with a prong collar correction.
Yep.
So I was very happy the bonker seemed to fix that and still allowed me to correct.
Yes. So this is what's important that people understand about redirection, as long as we're on the redirection conversation. If you're not familiar with redirection, is this. Your dog turns and bites your leg, usually your leg. Sometimes they get frustrated and they'll come up the leash and eventually they might get to your arm. They might lunge toward your face. A lot of people assume it's an e-collar or a prong collar conversation. It's not. I've had dogs redirect on me on wearing a harness, a martingale, a slip lead, flat buckle collar, and a nose harness. It is this. The dog can't be successful at lunging at what they want. So you take a dog that is in drive and it's lunging with intent, but it can't. It can't get to what it wants. It actually stops. They take that energy and it has to go somewhere. Where does it go? Usually at the person holding the leash. Or if you're walking 2 dogs at once, it might go to the other dog. Many of you know if you walk 2 dogs at the same time or 3 dogs at the same time, many of you are familiar with like one of your dogs redirecting on another dog. And it's usually when the dog is aroused. That's why, unfortunately, this industry does not talk about state of mind. They don't talk about arousal enough. They just focus on the actual obedience command. That's why when we walk dogs, you'll see them not aroused, meaning not fully alert, not like with their chest out. They're not doing a competition heel. They usually are a little bit behind us and people are like, they look so bored. Well, those bored dogs don't redirect. Those bored dogs don't lunge. They're not bored. They're in follow mode. All of those dogs, when they play chuck it, when they're off leash playing, when they go swimming, when they're running in a field, they're not like that. They are boom. So Angelo, when he's in the house, he's journaling, he's drawing, he's doing his schoolwork, and he's reading. And you'd never know he was in the house. Now, when he's outside in the pool, Oh, you know he's in the pool. Why? Because he's outside playing, as he should be. So there's indoor behavior and outdoor behavior. And a lot of dogs don't have that. They've got usually one behavior. And a lot of times inside the house, it's not the behavior you want.
Mountain Mutts, I love that you guys are so blunt and honest about the world of dog training. It's what people need to hear.
Thank you. I've been doing it for 20 years. I have not backed down. I will not back down. If anything, I've gotten louder. And this is the thing. You're right. It's what people need to hear. Many people don't want to hear it. And that's the problem. What people need most, they are shutting their ears to. Mm-hmm. Because why? I do not craft my message to sugarcoat it to make you feel better. I craft my message, which I'm not crafting it. It comes natural. But I put my message out there so the final result makes you feel better. So you've got to decide, do you want to be told something that makes you feel good? Not that I make you feel bad, but will make you feel good, but doesn't work. Or do you want something that maybe is a little bit difficult to do, but it'll make you feel great? And anybody that's ever gone through couples therapy, one-on-one talk therapy, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you're in couples therapy or talk therapy, one-on-one, and if it's easy, find a new person. They're not going to help you.
They're not pushing you enough.
They're not going to help you. Therapy should be difficult.
Somebody today in the community, I think it was Cheyenne, she posted how she's made more progress since joining our community than she has in the past like year or something. Mm-hmm. She was making progress, but she's like, it's faster now. Sure. Because I'm putting myself in positions that make me uncomfortable.
Right.
With my dog.
Right.
And that's where the breakthroughs are happening.
Right. And the great thing about that is we help you go into those positions, but we sort of hold your hand. It's a combination of push-pull with you. We're going to push you, but we'll be there when you fall, but we're actually going to allow you to fall, but we will teach you how to get back up, if that makes sense. You're not physically falling. Right now, you're probably physically falling because your damn dog is dragging you on your ass, but or jumping on you. But the point is that if you want to take a dog from a really bad behavior to a really good behavior, if you think that's going to be all rose petals and flowers, you are being sold a bill of goods that is false. It is utterly false. There's a lot of unethical behavior, a lot of lies, and a lot of misinformation out there in the dog training world. Next.
Sandy, hey, Jeff and Joelle, see you shortly on Fast Track. Love what you do.
Yep, we'll see you in 32 minutes.
Yep. Sabrina, my dog is a resource guarder. She knows the out command, but still is uneasy and tense during mealtime. Mm-hmm. She scarfs down her food and guards her bowl until I say out. What am I doing wrong?
Okay, it's not that you're doing something wrong. Your dog is doing something wrong. Just keep that in mind. The dog is doing something wrong. Now, what you need to do is this. You need to look at this from a bigger than a physical out moving away from the bowl. Because when you mentioned the dog is eating fast and also guards the bowl, that means the dog still has the guarding mindset. So 50% of out is physical, meaning they move away from the bowl, so it's safe for you to grab it. And 50% of it is state of mind, which is the most important part. Because I can have a dog eating from a food bowl and I can reach in and take it. They don't necessarily have to back up from the food bowl. But in your case, what you want to do is this. I would start doing, if a dog outs and they back up, I'd out them again. And they back up further. And we show this in a lot of our videos, in our out videos. And then you'll see them most likely by default, a lot of times, turn away, lie down, turn away. Great. Now you're getting there mentally. What also I would do is scatter their food on the ground. Get a small sheet pan, put their food on the ground. I don't necessarily mind a fast eater. It's not always the healthiest thing to do. Some people say feed the dog by hand. You do not need to feed your dog by hand. Now, with all of our puppies. First of all, we food train dogs. That's how we obedience train dogs, with a reward-based system. So we're always rewarding them with food in our hand. But to food train a dog, so it's not resource guarding, that's not going to work. You don't need to do that. Who's got time to do that? Now, if you're doing hundreds of reps, which is what we do with puppies and dogs, we're obviously rewarding with our hand. We do a marker, which could be a clicker, or it could be the word good, or it could be the word yes. So I would start thinking about the mental outs. If you're part of our community, you could be making videos. That's another great thing about our coaching, is you could be making videos and you upload them, and we literally will tell you exactly what to do. That's one of the most wonderful things about our 90-day fast track, and we can solve that problem. Let's see. Normally, the meetings are on Saturdays and Wednesdays. If we gave you the advice on Wednesday, by Saturday, it would be stopped. Mm-hmm. Next.
Snuggle Buns. I did CGC with my service dog so that I could train him to be separated from me in case of emergency without him being in distress, and I knew he could do it.
That's really good. A lot of service dogs need to be able to be separated from their humans, because if there's ever an injury, a lot of times a service dog cannot go in the ambulance. A lot of times they cannot go to the hospital with you. That's not necessarily the case all the time, but there should be protocols in place for if that does happen, especially if it's a diabetic alert dog, if it's a seizure alert dog, or frankly, you just get injured. Mm-hmm. You just get injured. So that's really, really important that your dog can be away from you, which is the downfall. Sometimes having a dog always with you is they struggle when they're not with you, which is what separation anxiety is. Next.
Jason says, great work, guys. Big fan.
Thank you, Jason.
Mountain Mutt said, I feel like with a lot of reactive dogs, a lot of the owners feed into it. Example, if you are emotionally unavailable, your dog will be too.
Okay. Let's say, whether that's true or not, you could be as emotionally unavailable as you want, and your dog could still be leash reactive. You could be as connected to your dog with a great relationship, and your dog can still be leash reactive. Be careful about the narrative that your feelings and your emotions go down the leash and then trigger your dog. This is what triggers your dog more: holding the leash wrong, not understanding leash pressure, not understanding loading, and not knowing how to apply a proper punisher to the dog at the loading stage, which stops the thought process. But there absolutely are people that just go through life with a dog on a leash and not paying attention to anything at all, and they're not in tune with their dogs. And it goes both ways. There's a lot of dogs that are just not in tune with their handlers. If you don't have a problem with your dog, it's not the worst thing. In our world, it's a big thing. So now in relationships with humans, being emotionally unavailable, that's when you have problems. Next.
Melissa, I was shocked my vet didn't even comment about my e-collar on my dog at her visit. I have heard of other people and families with their vets getting shit about it.
Yeah. Yep. So if that does happen in a vet office, you find a new vet. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because it's coming from the person that removes a dog's testicles and women parts. Just remember, vets slice open the belly of dogs to operate on them. Just remember, vets will knock your dog out to cut their nails. And I love my vet, but I'm just saying, a vet is in no position whatsoever to critique what you are doing to get better behavior from your dog, because vets recommend spay and neuter, but especially neuter, to stop aggression. Vets recommend you drugging your dogs to stop unwanted behaviors. So the great thing about this is most dogs that have been castrated can't have their balls put back on, but I can take an e-collar off anytime I want. Next.
Put that on a t-shirt. Christy says, hi, J&J.
Hello.
Hey, Christy. Jan says, howdy. Hey.
Hey.
Haley said the community is great because if you feel like you need an answer immediately, there's almost always someone online who can help.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're worldwide. So yeah. there's people in the UK. There's people in every time zone there.
The community.
International, maybe.
If you go to Solid Canine Academy and you click on the community and just read what it comes with, just read what it comes with. Read all the things it comes with. It is life-changing. Mm-hmm. It comes out to a few dollars a day.
Literally your daily cup of coffee.
Cheaper than your daily
cup of coffee. Less than my daily cup of coffee, because I think my coffee is around $4 and you can join the community for $3 a day.
Right. And you will make more progress your first month than you most likely did your first year. If you're struggling.
There's coaching calls in there too, twice a month.
Yeah. And it's when we respond, when it says Joelle is responding or Jeff is responding.
Courtney's in there now.
We just had to get our head trainer in there as well, because we want to be able to help as many people as possible. Next.
Holly says, howdy from Arizona. Thanks for inspiring us through your journey of personal development and as business owners. It's refreshing to have mentors like y'all that walk the walk, not just talk.
No, we practice what we preach.
For sure.
We are also expose our vulnerabilities. We share our vulnerabilities. Anybody that has seen us, been following us, I've been podcasting for 16 years, you'll see the growth. Anybody that's been following Joelle and I for the past, you know, 5 or so years, have seen our growth.
We went to this mastermind event this weekend with our mentor. He put it on. There's probably, what, 50 of us there? Maybe?
Not even.
You don't think so?
No.
Anyway, there's a really amazing guest speaker there. We were both crying our eyes out with a bunch of people we'd never even met before. We're like blubbering.
Yeah.
We're like, no shame.
There's a really, if you guys haven't, if you're not familiar with Nick, I can't even say his last name properly.
Santanastaso.
Yeah, Nick Santanastaso. He was born with no legs, one arm, and the other that arm only has one finger on it. Look him up. If you're in the personal growth, you know, if you follow personal growth, you probably have seen him on stage. He's been interviewed by Ed Mylett, Tom Bilyeu, Tony Robbins. He just actually went on tour with Tony Robbins around the world, and he has a wonderful story. And he was on stage, and everybody was crying. Like within the first 5 minutes, and not by feeling sorry, but by his message. And it was a wonderful, it was the keynote speech that I needed to hear. I imagine you needed to hear. And from the looks of it, the whole damn room needed to hear. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. Next.
Flyaway Kiara, so I just want to say I attended your workshop in Collingwood, Ontario in 2019.
Oh my God,
the last one we did.
That was a while ago.
The last one in Canada we did.
Yeah, because it was originally not supposed to be in Collingwood, yeah. But we had to move it last minute.
My 10.5-year-old Lab Mastiff has been a different dog since that weekend. E-collar training changed our lives.
That's great.
I never imagined she would have a perfect recall and stop being reactive. She's the best companion. Thanks, Jeff and team, for all you do.
Yeah, that was a while ago. And that just goes to show.
That's awesome.
Like when we say our weekend seminars are life-changing, they're literally life-changing. They're literally life-changing. Next.
Constance said, good evening, J&J. Hope you're having a great week. Hey, Constance.
So far, so good. Especially that I talked to you twice today, Constance.
I know. I talked to her today, too.
Yeah, look at that.
Look at that.
So we're all having a great day. Every day is better with Constance in it.
It's true. Jack says, you guys are awesome. Just rescued a German Shepherd today. Been here 5 hours. I can see the dog's interest in learning. I've learned a lot from your videos, and I know we'll do fine. He's already listening and anxious to learn. Taking it easy on the first day. Thank you for all the videos.
Awesome.
He hasn't bit me yet. Ha ha.
So Jack, right? Jack? Mm-hmm. Jack. So tomorrow, if you have Green to Graduate, start following it to the T. It's what we do when we get a dog in. So if the dog came to us for a board and train, we usually don't. If you want to give the dog the first day off, go ahead. We usually don't do that. We start working them. But tomorrow, start with crate drills, spatial pressure, thresholds, and watch your affection. And that goes the opposite of what people do most usually. As soon as they get a dog, they do more affection than anything else. I'm not saying you shouldn't love your dog, but the best way to love your dog is to train your dog. And you start doing it with leadership skills. It doesn't even have to be obedience skills. It's leadership skills. Start patterning the way you want your day to look like, your life to look like, and start patterning it, Make sure your dog understands what yes is. Make sure your dog understands what no is. And right now you might be doing more no than anything else. Don't worry about it. You'll get that out of the way. And in the meantime, you can also be doing, you know, lots of yes stuff. So get ready to be doing lots and lots of drills, because in 4 weeks from now, you can have, I mean, frankly, you can have a trained dog. Next.
Brittany says, our previous Corso would redirect on us or our other dog when he was fence fighting, and we attempted to stop him. E-collar was the only safe way to stop it if he had escalated to that point.
It's an extremely safe way to stop it, but it's not that it's just safe. It's effective and efficient. And again, even something...
But that's like shamed now. Like, I just put a thing up today on our stories because that whole e-collar post I put up, people love jumping in. And I'm like, this is supposed to be a helpful freaking post for people who maybe are just like a little bit intimidated by e-collar. Like, hey, everybody put your input in. You always get the one freaking bad apple who just has to flex their ego. Well, I can train a dog without one.
So can I.
It's like, no shit.
I can train a dog without one too.
No shit. Yep. But the point is...
Yeah.
It's there if you need it.
Yeah. This is the thing. It's like, it's like, I can train a dog with a slip lead and a clicker and treats. Big fucking deal.
Right.
I'm a dog trainer that's been doing this for 20 years. I can teach owners how to do it. Big deal. The thing is, all dogs need to be corrected for something. And you can't do it with that stuff. An e-collar is just a communication tool. It's all it is. You still have to know dog training. Food is a reward base, is a reward system. You still need to know how to train a dog. Food doesn't train dogs. E-collars doesn't train dogs. Dog training trains dogs. These tools need to stop being shamed because they're saving people's lives. So Jeff, if you can train a dog without an e-collar, why do you? Because I don't train dogs for my ego. I train dogs for my owner's success. And when you have an owner that has been struggling for years and they can't even walk their dog, they can't have any guests over, they can't take their dog anywhere. Number one, they feel defeated, and most likely they've been let down by lots and lots of people. They don't have the skill set, nor do they need this skill set, but they still can have a dog. They need all the help they can they get. They need all the leverage they can get. Yep. So if you have a dog that's fence fighting, you can stop fence fighting in under a minute. In under a minute, you can stop it with no negative side effects. That you're, and supposedly there's a ton of negative side effects that you that people bring up, and I've never seen it. All these things that are negative by using tools, I'm not seeing. Everything from, oh, well, only a trained professional should train on one. That's bullshit. We have e-collar online courses where your average person can train it. I've trained blind people how to e-collar train their dogs. It's not that difficult to do. People in wheelchairs can train their dogs. It's incredible what you can do with an e-collar that you cannot do without one. You can't. So anybody that says you can train the same thing without one, I would argue that point. It all depends on what your bar is.
Yep.
And also, the average person can train a dog to an extremely high level with an e-collar, and they cannot train, and you need a huge skill set to get the same results without one. Next.
Constance had a friend message me about e-collar training. She started with Place, and her dog was crocodile rolling when it fell stim on a three. Have you ever seen that?
Yes.
I told her to try motion first. Like, heel today went much better, but I've never heard you say dogs roll on an e-collar. Prong or flat, sure, but e-collar, no. I thought it was weird.
It's not the e-collar that's making the dog roll. It's the dog objecting to something that's making the dog roll. It didn't hurt the dog. Level three on a Dogtra or e-collar technology or even a Garmin does not make dogs roll because they can barely feel it. The dog is objecting. Okay. So here's a great example. When I tell,
also make sure she was using a good collar.
A good collar, and she wasn't hitting boost that was set at a really high level.
Right.
For boost. But this is the thing. Angelo, who is 11 now, anytime he's ever been told no for something, whether that's, can I buy something? Can I do something? Can I watch something? Can I stay up to a certain hour or something? And whenever he hears no, he's never had a temper tantrum. Sometimes he gets upset, but he's never had a temper tantrum. Okay? Guess what? Many kids do. Just for saying, you need to go to bed right now. It's your bedtime. Just for saying, no, you can't buy that. You can't buy that toy. We see it all the time. Go to any, hang out at any toy section, any store, and just wait for parents to tell their kids no and see how they react. A lot of parents, what they'll do is then they'll bribe the kid. Don't worry about it, honey. I'll just feed you the most garbage food in the world instead, which is like McDonald's. No, you can't buy that, but I'll stuff your face with crap food that's going to give you diabetes and make you unhealthy. You're better off actually buying the kid something, frankly. Next.
Let's see. Drury says, my boy is trained to place command and does excellent with it. However, he'll go to his place in the house on his own and then won't get up because he thinks he's on place.
Yeah.
I know this isn't huge, big deal, but wondering if there's anything I can do that
just say break. Yeah. Just say break. I'd rather have your dog do that than blow off actual obedience commands. So you know what? Your dog goes to place. You can either call it off of it or just say break. It's really no big deal. Don't worry about it. Next.
Jack says, my new dog barks when I need another drink.
Okay. So if someone's been sober for over 30 years, I would encourage you to train your dog not to bark. If you enjoy your libations, I can train your dog to bark every 5 minutes if you want. You tell me, where do you want to go with this? I'd be more than happy to help you. Just make sure someone else has your car keys. Next.
Nikki says, I've made more progress with Gunner in a month with Fast Track than I have in 8 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not a pay. We didn't pay anybody to say that.
Don't pay for
our people. So there's so many narratives out there about me.
Yeah.
We have so many testimonials. We have video testimonials. There's so many people out there that are like, they're paid actors. It's like, yeah. It's like, yep, that's what we do. We pay people to say nice things about us. That's what we do. Yep. And we rent fancy cars so people think we're successful. Yep. That's what we do. Give me a fucking break.
So bizarre.
We don't need to do that because when you're good, people just volunteer testimonials. Next. Yep.
Clarice, I have basically feral dogs that live next door. My dogs ignore them now.
Good.
It's good.
Clarice, what movie is that from?
Kind of just thinking that.
Silence of the Lambs. Thank you.
Shadow student nailed it.
Yeah, Clarice. You attract all the cool guys. Yeah, next.
Let me see. I didn't miss anything on Insta. Oh, have you ever done a combined training class with such and such?
No, we don't. We don't do combined anything at all. Yeah, we don't do combined anything at all.
I thought that we're not.
Yeah.
Open to it.
Yeah.
Because it just depends.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's just.
It's never been brought up or mentioned. So
it's not what we do.
Yeah.
That's not what we do. We just do what we do. We stay in our lane. We do our own thing.
Yeah.
Because then we can be a, and it doesn't make a difference who the person is. It's because then we can be accountable for our own actions. Next.
Constance said, paid me in free knowledge. The things that I have learned just from listening to your free content, priceless.
Okay. Well, there you go.
B. Summers, my Doberman is insecure of the down command. He jumped back and tried to nip me. Any advice?
Yes. We've worked with you, I would encourage you to do a one-on-one consult or join our community. Because a one-on-one consult is a third, what you pay for that, it's a third of the price of our community, and you get 26 consults. You get courses, but it's not uncommon. A down is a very vulnerable position for a dog. A lot of dogs don't like doing the down. We recommend that that's not one of the first obedience commands you teach, but it's very common for a dog to literally lock their body up. So their whole skeletal frame is technically locked, and it's very hard to lure them. It's very hard to, you know, use leash pressure on them. But we've got ways to do it. We've got ways to do it. So that's more of a show and tell type thing. And your dog needs to know what leash pressure is. Can it follow a lure? You do a combination of both. Sometimes you have to use, quote unquote, a lot of force, which is what a lot of people that are anti-force don't understand. This concept that a dog is a willing participant and just it'll always follow the food. It'll do whatever you want for the food. It's like you've never worked with an extremely challenging dog then. There's some dogs that can give a flying F. 50% of the dogs we work with won't take food during training. They will not take food during training. 50% won't. So that means you need to have a lot of other skills, knowing that 50% of your dogs that come through your program won't take food. And many of you out there that are just dog owners know your dogs don't work for food. And we're not going to starve dogs. Like, is a, I don't want to say a common practice. There's a segment of the dog training industry that does that though. But we're not going to play that game. Next.
Alicia says, Figaro has made huge progress with his kennel, but is now protesting. If I didn't have your help, we wouldn't know better where we are.
Okay. So you're in the messy middle.
Yep.
Don't be surprised. Because you're being more demanding. And it sounds like you found a crack, Alicia. Mm-hmm. See that? Remember when we had our consult and you were pretty confident that your dog is like, oh no, it knows it. It's like, I know your dog. Most dogs do, but let's start challenging the dog more. Let's start making other things possibly more challenging. And then the dog starts revealing some other things. So this is a great opportunity for you to get your dog past that, because on the other side of that is going to be massive success when it comes to other things. So we actually like it when dogs are going through the messy middle, because that means people are making progress.
You're almost over the hump.
Yep.
Constance said, haha, Joel, you know me too well. You read my tone exactly as I typed it. I know. I do know you well, Constance.
Yes.
Molly says, love you guys and everything you do. Oh, we love you too.
Oh, thank you.
Jack said, I was kidding about the drinks. This new dog is settling in already, open for training. I'm a firm trainer. As I've done with horses over the years, I demand respect and give respect. It's a fine line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But you know what's really, really weird, Jack? We deal with a lot of horse people.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're freaking getting soft on us, too.
Yeah.
And it's just like, are you serious?
It's like they can be firm with their horses because they're huge. But when it comes to the dogs,
they're the complete opposite.
They're the opposite. It's like, interesting.
It's like, and it's like, yes, the horse can kill you, but so can a dog.
So can a dog.
But also, I don't want to say a horse can't cause as much stress in your life. They can't impact your life in a negative way. Usually, like, you're not.
But doing... you're not like, hey, can't have you guys over tonight. The horse is out of control.
Right. Most people don't have horses in their house.
That damn horse will stop barking at the mailman.
Yeah. Most people don't have horses in their house. But, you know, and most people aren't taking their horses, like, to the cafe doing a downstay, right. You know. So, but, yeah, but if you take that same attitude, first of all, a lot of the stuff with pressure and release, a lot of the stuff with accountability, you know, a lot of it passes on. But we're seeing some horse people. They're being real, real softies with their dog. So, and then if you ever need help with your dog, if you still have horses, if you ever need your help getting that shepherd to be safer on your horse, if you're struggling, we can help you with that as well. Next.
Nancy says, wondering if you have your dog in a down stay, should you return him to release him saying good stay, or could you do a recall?
Okay, so we don't
say return to him to release him.
So, okay, so a couple of things. We don't teach the stay command. We never say stay to a dog, whether it's in place, down, or sit. We never say stay. It's built in. So when we tell a dog down, it means down stay. Now you have to train the dog this, but we don't say stay. That's just an extra command. We don't have it. We just don't do it. A lot of people say, well, how do they know to stay? And my response is, how does your dog know that when you say stay, that it's supposed to stay? You're speaking an English word to the dog that has no meaning to the dog. So We don't say good stay. We will now if they down, we'll mark it with good. We have a whole program on how to get duration. It's actually a very structured, stepped program. Now, as far as releasing them, we use the word break. You can use whatever word you want to. I would encourage you not to use the word okay, because we use okay in our normal conversations. And a lot of times you can be saying, you know, you're on the phone, I'll see you in a little bit, hon. Okay. Next thing you know, your dog breaks command. So, but break is, you know, unless you're like an enforcer and you're like saying, you know, if you don't pay, I'm going to break your legs. You know, you're usually not saying break, you know, that much. So what we do is you can say break theoretically from anywhere, but you can always recall your dog out of a command without saying break. So you can use break, which means you don't have to be in command anymore, and you can sort of do what you want, as long as you're not like jumping on people or like, you know, running around the room or something like that. Or you can do an obedience command. Next.
All right, last one, because we get to jump on our coaching now. Francis says, hey guys, two mini dachshunds here in Australia. How do I get my hands on the e-collar? These two are in need of correction. Unruly girl encourages barking at the window to my gorgeous quiet guy.
So you could use a bonker, which is a wrapped up towel as well. There is a trainer down in Sydney. Canine, his name is Steve, I believe. Canine something. So you're in part of
Steve in Sydney. It's like Finding Nemo. I'm gonna track
him. No, just dog trainer Steve. Just dog trainer Steve in Sydney. There's not canine something, I think it's called. Last time I was training in Australia, all parts of Australia, they weren't illegal, just some parts were. But you can also call e-collar technologies. Go to e-collar.com, ask them if there's any retailers in Australia that carry e-collars. You can probably have one shipped to you, but you can also stop barking at the door with a bonker, which is a rolled up towel. All right, everybody. This is Jeff and Joelle of Solid Canine Training. We've got to go because we have our fast track coaching that we're doing right now. We encourage people to, at a minimum, look into our community. Join the community. It's a game changer.
And if you want more info on any of it, like, we'll get on a call with you.
Yeah, you can also book a 15-minute phone call with me to find out what program you should be. If you don't know what program you should be in at all, Joelle's putting up my calendar right now. Just book a 15-minute call. We don't do training in these 15-minute calls. What I do is I just find out what you're struggling with, and I put you in the best program for you. It's based on how much time you've got. It's based on, are you willing to do a certain amount of work? And then obviously it's based on what your budget is. And we put you in different programs. And I might just say, just keep listening to the podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, I might just say, watch our free videos. So, all right. All right, everybody. Madly in love with all of you. Take care and good night.
Bye. Bye.